So here we are at the start of 2025. I always try and shy away from the New Year's resolution preach at this time of the year. You can tell me whether I get it right today or not. But we come to a beginning of a new year with a fresh start, with new possibilities, with new opportunities to challenge and to grow us in our faith. And it's important to pause and reflect on what possibly lies ahead. And as we do that, we sometimes come with that age-old question, how do we know which way to go? Or how do we know what to do? How do we know which decision to make when we're faced with decisions? And it's not like we're not going to be faced with any decisions. We know it happens all the time. And we also know that as we look forward, we can reflect on the past and say, looking forward, anything can happen. If we look at the last couple of years in the world, anything could happen going forward. In 2003, I had the opportunity to go into the Volkberg Caves. Spelunking's not my thing, it's not what I do, but we had a guy, his name was Stan, and he worked for Nature Conservation, and he was in our church, and once a month he would take our young people on an adventure. Well, this month was go into the Volkberg Caves. It was a two-day excursion. Day one was into the lake chamber. So, oh, the picture's on the screen. Brilliant. Just go back one so that I can So day one was to go down that little, tiny little black line on the left all the way to the blue bit, which was the lake chamber with the water, and then to get out. And as we went in on day one, we had to set ropes and little small aluminium ladders with little ropes, chainy things, so that we could get back out again. And we had to clip them into rocks and stuff, or else we weren't going to get out at the end of our day. And I can say it was truly magical getting right down to the very bottom, the lake chamber. You've seen photos of those kinds of places where the water is just this total turquoise, beautiful, stunning. Anyway, that was day one. Then, oh, that's what I looked like after my trip in the cave. It's not a very clean place. There's not somebody, you know, sweeping up before you go in. And Stan, by the way, he had only one of two keys to get into the cave because people had started to steal the stalagmites and stalactites. So Nature Conservation had sealed it up, and he had. So we were very fortunate that we got to go and do this. But then on day two, we got to go into the main part of the cave, that very long, but all the way to the very end. And the very last little bit where you can't go anymore is called the siphon. We never got right to the end, but we got to the very furthest spot where the biggest chamber was. Getting there was a trick. If you don't like small places, then this isn't for you, because we had to go down a thing called the chimney, and the chimney only works one way with the way that we're designed. Because your knees and hips only bend one way, you can't go in any other way but the way they tell you. And when you come out, you can only come out the way you went in, because if you do it 180 degrees facing the opposite way, you just don't bend properly. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. But we got to the very end of day two, this massive big chamber. The headlights that we had were not powerful enough to illuminate the whole chamber. It was so big. It was over 1,400 meters from the entrance to where we came to in this big chamber. And there was a point where Stan said, I want you to experience what complete and total darkness feels like. Not what it looks like, but what it feels like. And he said, okay, everybody, turn off your headlights. And we did it all at the same time. And you can feel the darkness. It wasn't like you couldn't see a thing. People could be jumping around and waving their arms. You would have no clue. There was not an ounce of light getting in there from the outside. It was pitch, pitch black. I felt down to check that I had brought the extra batteries. And I'd brought double. I was a Boy Scout, so I had two in this pocket and two in this pocket just in case. But it was pitch, pitch black. And I think sometimes in our lives, we can get to a place where life can seem pitch, pitch black, where we feel what real darkness is. And then we can go to God's Word and pick on the scripture that we're going to share today, Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. God's word helps to guide us. It is a light that we can use as we step into life. It illuminates the path ahead. It gives a place for us to stand. We can see where we're standing as we follow his word. I wouldn't, when I switched off my headlight in that cave and everybody's headlights were off, I didn't want to walk because I thought if I break my leg, how am I going to get out that little siphon, you know, being pulled and yanked? But as we follow Almighty God, as we jump into his word, he brings clarity to situations that can be confusing. He gives us the answers to the questions that we need help with. He leads and guides us. If we get this one thing right, if we get dwelling in his word, reading his word, studying his word, being in his word, if we get this one thing right, if we stick close to Almighty God, then all the plans and purposes of our lives will be revealed. Everything else will be sorted out. Everything else will become clear, or everything else will no longer be important. So let's have a look at Psalm 119, verse 105, and see how we can apply it to our own lives. What is the role of God's word in our lives? What part does it play in our lives? Psalm 119, by the way, is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's dedicated to the importance and the power of God's word. As you read it from the beginning to the end, you will find it speaks about God's word over and over again. And as we step into the new year, we might face some uncertainty. The trouble you had in your life on the 31st of December might not miraculously have disappeared by the 1st of January. That thing doesn't go away. What you were battling with a year ago, last year, or a week ago, you could still very well be battling with the very same thing. We have new possibilities and endless opportunities, but what we were carrying, we still sometimes carry into the new year. We may be dealing with personal struggles. Maybe it's health challenges. Maybe it's relationship issues. Sometimes we've got the heavy weight of decisions that we have to make. And it's easy to feel like we're stepping and walking into darkness, that we don't know where to go and what to do. Sometimes we're overwhelmed and not able to see the road ahead. Yes, yet this verse reminds us that we don't walk in darkness. We don't step into the unknown without God. God's word, like a lamp, illuminates our path, guides us step by step, even when the way seems unclear. Just as a lamp gives us enough light to see the little bit we're going to next, that's what God's word does. It shows us the next couple of steps in our journey. Doesn't always illuminate. When Will shared this morning, God didn't say to him when he was that little child committing his life, you're going to be on a river in a DKW, a three-cylinder vehicle. Right? Yeah, check that. Or you're going to be in America in the snowstorm and I'm going to open a door. God didn't say that, but God did promise he would be with him. And that plan unfolded as he walked in God's light. So as the word of God gives us the next few steps, he guides us in the direction that he wants to go. So what is the role of God's word in your life? John Stott says this, the Bible is not merely a book of words, it's a book of life. It's the breath of God given to humanity, meant to shape and form our lives, guiding us in truth, righteousness, and holiness. Through it, we encounter the very heart of God and discover our purpose in his divine plan. God's word must be more than just an intellectual conversation, intellectual endeavor for us. It needs to be more than just a book on a dusty shelf with a whole lot of other dusty books. It needs to be something that we grab a hold of and say, this is important because it is God's word. And as we get into it, God reveals himself. I can guarantee you, if you go to God's word every day this year or as often as possible, more than last year, that God will reveal stuff that you will step back, as Will has, and said, there's nothing scientific that can explain this. This is more than just a coincidence. You will have those moments, I can guarantee you. And the reason people don't have those moments is because they don't go to God's word. And when they do, it's in a matter of like frantic panic, and God does work sometimes through his word in those moments, but more often than not, he works through the times when you consistently just jump into his word, going through it, reading it, studying it, understanding it, saying, Lord, speak to me. That's when it happens in those moments. Picture for a moment that God's word is like a GPS. You're setting out on a journey into the great unknown, or maybe just, I don't know, to somewhere in Durban. But you don't know where you're going. And if you don't have a map or a GPS, you kind of just don't know where you're at. We had one of those experiences on Friday when we were going to visit Joshua in Kwanushwa. We didn't know where he lived. We had some directions. We got totally lost. Wish we had had a pin or something. But that's what God's word is like. It's like a GPS. It leads and guides you to where he wants you to go. And just like a GPS, I don't know if you remember when they used to say recalculating, you know, a bit more gracious than your wife sometimes. I love her. Yeah, my GPS is so special. She doesn't get excited recalculating. Brian, recalculating. Which my wife nodded, so I'm still on safe ground. But let's move along. But God's word does the same. If we're just kind of missing it a bit, he'll just help us gently back onto the path. His word just guides and helps us back, saying, no, not that way, it's this way. Don't step out of what I've got planned for you. So we need to decide what part God's word ultimately plays and what part God plays in our lives. In his word, another book that we just have, or is it really the most important book? Do we see the divine and useful, or do we see a simple historical record? Do we grab it all the time, or do we just grab it as a first aid kit in emergencies? So once we know where that fits in our lives, and that's a decision you've got to make and something you've got to answer for yourself, what does it mean that it's a lamp to our path? Well, a lamp gives us two things. It gives us light for the very next step we're going to take, but also shows a path ahead. Not all the way, but some ways. It helps us see where we're stepping. It helps us to know what's right in God's sight for our hearts and our lives. Sometimes we know what's right, but we don't follow what's right. But in Psalm 119, verse 11, the same psalm that speaks about his word, it says, I've hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. As we go to God's word, he helps us with the areas that are most challenging in our lives. Sin is not something that you're going to outgrow. Sin is something that's going to yap at your heels for the rest of your life. And when you just think you've got it under control, that's when you've got to worry the most. But God's word will light the way and say, this is the right way. That's not the right way. You know it. So that's important. We hide his word in our heart that we won't sin against him. And as we dwell in his word, he strengthens us. He helps us on the journey ahead. It's like God's word is a vitamins for our life to strengthen us, help us, guide us. A lamp also illuminates the path ahead of us. We may not see the whole journey, but we can trust that God will guide us along the way. He knows the whole journey, and so he just tells us the next couple of steps. I wish he would tell me the whole year. We all want that. But he says, that's fine, trust me. This is the next couple of steps you need to take. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Picture for a moment you're in the cave in the Vorkburg with me. Okay. And you've turned off your headlight, and there's just no light. And if we wander around, we're going to stumble and fall. The light gives you security, gives you peace, helps you along the way. And that's what God's light should be doing in all of our lives, not just some. And it's not God's word in my life that'll help you. It's God's word in your life that will help you. So once we understand the value and the importance of God's word and we decide how we're going to use it, and then we understand the relationship between the lamp and the path, then we need to look at walking in the light. So we have the light. You have the flashlight. You have the torch. You have that thing. But if you never switch it on, if you never put the batteries in and take it out the drawer, it's useless. having God's word and not using God's word, it's useless. We really need to use his word. It's almost as though his word will shine the light here, and we will say, oh, I'm going to go this way. Or you'll say, well, this is the next step, and we go, oh, let's take this step. Jesus said in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. One more time. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's a promise in a world of uncertainty and in a world where we know challenges are going to come our way. That is a promise that we can hold on to. We won't walk in darkness. John Stott says, to walk in the light is to walk in fellowship with God, living in obedience to his word and allowing his truth to shape our hearts and our actions. Walking in the light is not a matter of perfection, but of a continually turning towards God, who is light, and allowing his presence to guide us through life. I love what he says there about perfection. It's not about perfection. It's about constantly pushing into God, constantly calling on God, constantly going to his word, saying, what's the next step? Constantly. So what about our year ahead? Well, I've already said we have some brand new opportunities, some great options in our path this year. And we can decide the place God's word plays in our life. We can decide how we're going to use his word. But we need to use his word, because just as a lamp that's not lit, his word that's not read is not going to work in your life. We need to read his word. So what I thought I would do is leave you with some real practical help as we start this year. And can I say, whatever you decide to do, you need to have it as part of a routine. Okay, so I'm going to suggest three read your Bible ideas for the year ahead that you can maybe grab one and say, this is what I'm going to do for this year ahead. And I want to say, make it part of a routine. Don't just say, I'm going to do this and not think about where it's going to fit into your day tomorrow morning or tomorrow night. Make it a part of your routine. That's what I do. I have a routine and I stick to it very, very faithfully. And that helps me to stay consistent in my Bible reading. So there's three things. So the first thing is the E100. Don't worry about writing down the links, okay? I'm going to post that right now. When the last song plays, I'm going to post it to the WhatsApp group. I've got three suggestions. The links will be in that WhatsApp, so you can just click on them. But the E100 is by the Bible Society and by Scripture Union. It's 100 verses, 50 stories, 50 from the Old Testament, 50 from the New, and the most important. So if you don't want to hear about 40 different kings and how they followed God and they didn't follow God, followed God, didn't follow God, then this is for you. This is for you. The top stories are recorded here, and it's 100 days. So you can do this every third day and get through it by the end of the year. You can do this with your kids. I know some people have done that, have a Bible reading time, and they read one of these with their kids. So you can download that PDF from that website. I think there's an app somewhere, but you guys are clever. If you know what that means, you can find something. E100, really good for Bible reading. Then the guy that I'm following this year is Chad Bird. It's B-I-R-D. He's slightly covered up there for some reason. He's with an organization called 1517, and they have got a daily Bible reading. He's a lecturer in Old Testament, but his speciality is connecting Old Testament and New Testament. And so he's always got an Old Testament reading and a New Testament reading and a short video, 3 to 5 minutes, about the reading of the day. So that's a good one. You might want to follow him. Or, of course, there's the YouVersion Bible app. This is on 754 million devices, the YouVersion Bible app. Some people are shaking their heads. I believe that means we know, we have it. There's 3,100 Bible versions on the YouVersion Bible app, and it's in 2,000 different languages. Oh, the E100's in all of our official languages, just by the way, just in case you're thinking this is the one. This is put out by Craig Groeschel and Life Church, and this link will take you to their daily Bible reading. And these are all ways to get the Bible into your life. And the last two, Chad Bird and the YouVersion, those are the Bible in a year. You'll read the whole Bible in a year. You might not be quite as quick as them. That's okay. If you miss a day, pick it up the next day. That's also fine. But I really would love that we get into God's Word. The more you get into God's Word, the more you know God. And the more you know God, the easier it is to follow His path for your life. The easier it is to know that His Word is a lamp and a light. That's what I want to share with you today. So I'll share those links with you in a moment on the WhatsApp group. If you're not part of the WhatsApp group, there's a QR code you can scan on the back board.